welcome to pod 48, the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the Palace app, eagles.cpfc.co.uk, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and sometimes LinkedIn. We have got, obviously, we're ending with Roy Hodgson's press conference. I don't know what happens in that because I'm recording this before he's done it. We've got Christian Benteke talking to the Premier League. I don't know what he says in that. I haven't listened to it yet. We've got Sadiq Khan, the London mayor I spoke to this week. We've also got Steve Parish, the chairman of the football club. What a podcast. But first of all, and he's sat here now while I record this link, it's Statman. Play the jingle. Brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, no, no.
Statman. Statman.
Wow, what a jingle that is. Statman, did you enjoy sitting there and watching me record my opening link?
I mean, you're watching the magic in action there. That is years of experience, isn't it? All the Hollyoaks casualty experience called upon there.
Holby City.
Let's get this right. Wonderful. Really. Did it take you back to your acting days?
No. I mean, I had scripts then, didn't I? I didn't have to make stuff up.
You did. I mean, he's literally just... I mean, you probably, you know, can tell listening into it when he says, I've not listened to any of this yet. I'm not sure what's on the pod. Very much ad-lib, but...
I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
Benteke is a great talker. He'll be entertaining. Roy will be answering questions that will be the same, won't
they? And a Premier League podcast with Sadiq Khan.
I know. Do you know what? The comments online that... From putting the video out.
Yep.
The comments that people write about him are horrible. On YouTube as well. YouTube's normally a lovely place. God. People get very tribal with their... Anything with a politician. I remember when we did Chuka Amuna.
Yeah. Palace fan, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And he was a nice guy. Sadiq Khan was lovely as well. I like to treat people... As I find them. If they're nice to me and they seem like a nice guy and they, you know, they haven't killed anyone or...
Quick... Well, that's good to know, yeah.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, it's not like he's an evil person, but the stuff that they write is horrible.
Chris Grierson, the nicest interviewer in the industry, eh?
Yeah, just put them at ease, you know?
Yeah, put them at ease. No tough questions, just don't worry, as we were. No, there's a few. Do you put him on the spot a little, Sadiq?
I don't know what to put him on the spot about.
Yeah, again, you don't want to go into politics, do you? It's about...
No, it's about the foundation, and he was very impressed with what they do, and he was really good with the... They had people that worked for the foundation and people that had been on the courses in the dressing room. He was really good at chatting to them about it. It was actually quite nice to see. Mm. I felt sorry for him. The media that they have to do.
Yeah.
Interview after interview. Yeah. People asking the same old questions.
Yeah. Well, now you know how a manager feels.
Until old Chrissy Grissom steps up with his with questions that are a little bit different. But
outside the box. Yeah. Well, you must feel like a manager on a match day. You've talked through how many they have to go through. Is it three they go through? Sky Sports, BBC?
Sky Sports, BBC, Premier League Productions.
Then the big one.
No, not quite yet. Sometimes Canal Plus. Sometimes ESPN Brazil. BN Sports.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Sometimes they double up and one person will do it for both of them. Yeah. But yeah, home games I don't do, Roy. We get it from Premier League.
Oh, God, he must be relieved.
Away games he does me. He has to face the music with
CG.
Questions where I don't want to upset him.
Yeah, of course. That was a positive performance today. Yeah. And then he comes into...
Where we are sat now. The media centre. Some lovely green chairs. A remnant from the days when we were sponsored by Nutella and that was their colour.
So we did that on purpose?
I don't know, but it's quite green.
It's nice, yeah.
You're sat in Roy's chair, swivelling about there, stroking your thigh.
Yeah, I am. I'm feeling at ease in this chair. So
for those who don't know, it's the media centre at the stadium. We might have recorded one in here before, but if I've forgotten, serve the listeners.
Yeah.
It's in the Holmesdale Road stand. As you look at the Holmesdale Road stand, on the right-hand side, there's a staircase that goes up. There's a little door in the side. That's the media centre. This is where it used to be my workplace here before I moved to the training
ground. Thing about this one is, or what I know about it, is that every Premier League team has to have a media room of a certain size, don't they? Because you go up from the Championship to the Premier League and suddenly all eyes are on you. And this was, obviously, we went up through the playoffs, so we had limited time to get this in place.
Well, this wasn't here the first season.
The whole first season?
No. No, definitely wasn't. Because the day that this opened was my first game working at the club.
Yeah. Which was against Chelsea. Got to get it in time for Chris Grierson's start.
He's coming.
Jesus!
Someone get the green chairs.
Media facilities aren't up to scratch. Harriet, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be in the main stand. Yeah. In one of the little family lounges.
Right, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a lot smaller, isn't it?
Tiny.
Yeah.
It was just a little table in front of a wall that had a little ad board stuck on it. And now this, with this bespoke desk where the microphone on the table has cables that run that you can't see into that sound box at the back there. Lovely. Then all the cameras plug into that. You don't get that at every ground, I tell you.
When I was at Nottingham Forest beforehand, they used to do it in a classroom.
You used to work for Nottingham Forest?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Know that. And please didn't call them Notts Forest there. That's
no, they don't like that, do
always
they?
Gets people's backs up. Yeah. Could be playing them next season. Never know where they're going.
Oh, I thought you were being negative about Palace then.
No, I wasn't.
It was a dig.
It was not a dig. No. Okay. Forest looked like going up.
Oh, really?
Anyway.
Got a few ex-Palace... Three people that came through the Palace Academy, I think, in their squad. Ben Watson, John Bostock... And Lewis Graban. Or Graban, don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, Graban, I'm sorry. Big thing for you getting that pronunciation correct, wasn't it? We spent about 2 minutes on getting Vicente Guaita.
Still got it wrong. It's Vicente Guaita or Vicente Guaita.
I'll just call
you
it.
You can't do this every week.
I'm sorry. But anyway, shall we roll on then? So we're looking at, just firstly, week off. You know more than me with this.
Yep.
Team have had a week off, winter break, first time ever in Premier League history. What have they been up to?
They had a week off. That's pretty much it.
Some went to Dubai, didn't they?
They did.
Yep.
Some Jeffrey Schlupp, Mamadou Sakho, Luke Dreyer all went out to Dubai for recovery, rehab. So one of our guys went out and did stuff with them. And other people just went wherever they wanted. They had a week off. Yeah. Rested. Obviously, half the footballing world was in Dubai.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Back fit and fresh then.
Saw Zaha went to Barbados. Nice to see someone representing the Caribbean.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Martin Kelly just stayed in Beckenham. But he has had a baby. He had a baby yesterday.
His second one.
Congratulations to Martin Ronald Kelly.
Wonderful stuff. Well, right. Let's look ahead then to what is a pretty...
I went to Venice, by the way. Thanks for asking.
Sorry, Chris.
Just two days.
Venice, sorry. I had a lovely time. Valentine's.
Very nice. Yeah, two days.
Yeah. Follow him on Insta, at Chris Grierson.
Yeah. Doesn't smell. Yeah. Wasn't flooded. To answer your two questions that everyone's asked.
Yeah, okay. That was going to come my way.
Just nick that line from my programme column.
Okay. Would go again.
Which you can read in tomorrow's matchday programme and on the download.
Okay.
I'm really cocky this week.
I've had a few days off.
And I'm slouched back in my chair being all...
How many years have we been at Palace now?
5.5.
Yeah, it's showing the confidence on this geezer now. It's remarkable. Let's look ahead then to what is, you get the feeling, a monumental match this. Where we're at now, you know, the few defeats we've had now in a row, three back-to-back, 6 points off the bottom three... And a home game against Newcastle, who are renowned for not travelling well to London. But as we'll find out as we go into a stat, my, is it a game that hasn't produced many goals? So it is, on paper, destined to be an incredibly tight, pressurised game. But the positive news is we are backed by a sold-out crowd, aren't we?
We are. Absolute sellout. Yeah. I'll be pleased in the ticket office, won't
I?
Are
I had some having... mates wanting to buy tickets. And you know, you think, I'll sort you out. Don't worry, mate.
Don't worry. whatever you want.
I know, people. Don't you worry about that. I had to go back. Yeah, no, sorry, mate. I can't get you any. And it doesn't happen to you, Chris, of course. You go to the players and say, listen, Vicente Guaita.
Stop trying.
Listen, Martin Kelly.
Just call
Scott
him VG. VG,
sorry, VG. Listen, lads. You know, pop me some ticks. Need them my way, yeah, boys?
Do you know, I haven't done that, but...
You would do.
I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure Danny would sort me out. Danny the kit man.
Although
he's player liaison now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. But massive game. Just touching on team news then, just chatting to you, you filled me in more than I knew. I thought Cenk was out, but...
He's been training.
It looks like he's
training.
I'm
sure we'll hear in Roy's press conference.
Stay tuned.
But... I mean, yeah, we put a video out and he was training in it, so...
Yeah.
If we're now pretending that he's out, then I'm getting the sack.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. I would like this.
No, it wouldn't happen.
Okay. No, blimey. Wouldn't get rid of the head of the snake,
would you?
Yeah. Watch this space. But yeah, so Cenk may be back, but we got Tonk, Sakho and Schlupp out and Kelly a doubt.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know about
this
that.
This is just what... Yeah.
I don't know about up. That.
But we shall see. And right, just quickly.
I didn't know you did injury news in this.
No,
injury news in this
before. I don't know. I'll tell you why, because some of the stats that were thrown my way were horrendous. So I had to try and give at least some sort of positive news and some positive stats.
Okay, yeah, we've got quite an available squad.
Yeah, good. And just on Newcastle's, the worry is that Dwight Gayle's back. Newcastle,
oh, goodness sake.
Which is...
But he'll be bringing his Crystal Palace suitcase, probably.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Did you ever see that?
No, I've not seen that.
His photograph. Was it like a year ago, maybe a bit? And he had a suitcase and it was still the one with the Palace badge on it?
Oh, that's good to see, isn't it? Yeah. Lovely to see. But yeah, the worry is that he is looking like he's going to be back. And as we'll come on to their key man, Jonjo Shelvey. Looks like he's going to be back for the game. So we'll touch on his stats.
Can't wait.
A minute. Yeah. Oh, we're going to go deep. We're going to go deep with these stats. Form-wise, then, look at Newcastle. They've been unbeaten but not lost too many games. Of their last five, drawn three of them, won one, but lost their last one heavily, as we know, in London against Arsenal 4-0. From us, of course, we haven't won yet in 2020, which is where we're at. Drawn two, lost three of our last five. And head-to-head-wise of the last five, Newcastle winning two, we've won one, and two draws with an average of one goal per game.
Wow.
So that's what we're looking at. Newcastle at Sellhurst. So we're looking at
positives. So is this the average of one goal per game ever since, we're probably coming on to it, the big one with loads of goals?
No. That was a while back. So that was, you're going all the way.
That's how long I've been.
Yeah, here we go. 2015.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one. So goals are flowing that day. Chris Grierson can barely keep up with his Twitter and update. You weren't doing that, sorry. But updating things.
No.
Goals galore. Who am I going to interview? This is wonderful. Anyway, after that game.
Yep.
In 2015, there hasn't been a goal scored by open play.
It was 5-1, wasn't it?
5-1, yeah.
Was it 5-1 or 5-0? 5-1.
Between these two teams, there hasn't been a goal scored.
No way.
Through open play. Just been set pieces. So that is...
That is crazy.
One to watch, isn't it? Yeah. So occasionally now and then, I shot Chris with a stat. And that's a good validation.
Did James McArthur get two that day?
I think he did.
You don't know. I love throwing these things out that you don't know. I've got a vague memory of doing a joint interview with him and Bolasie or something after that one.
I remember Cisse scoring the first and giving it the big one in front of the Fanatics, and then we hit back.
Yes.
That's all I remember from that one. But goal scorers, I don't know, you put me on the spot there. Someone
will know.
But yeah, open play, and then obviously not one goal from open play.
Well, good set pieces,
keep an eye on them. and we're looking at Newcastle at Crystal Palace, at Selhurst Park. So they had an amazing record from 1994 to 2013. They won five consecutive away league matches here. But since then, they've won none of their last four visits, but three draws and one defeat there. So
we're unbeaten in four against Newcastle at Selhurst Park.
Yeah.
That's a positive way.
It is a positive
Just to
way.
Let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If you ever want to spin anything, we're unbeaten in four against Newcastle
at Selhurst Park. Max Clifford here, just telling us how to spin it. Yeah, so we got that. We're looking at, so Newcastle renowned for not travelling well to London, lost 19 of 27 Premier League matches in London. But this season, they'd argue, you're chatting to them, that Bruce has turned that one away, turned that run one around, and they have beaten Spurs and West Ham away from home this season. So there's the slight worrying. And the worrying one just from our side is that we're yet to score more than two goals in a game this season.
Really?
I mean, this game doesn't statistically look like we're going to get more than two goals for Palace this game. You never know. Could be surprised. Could have a wealth of corners being swung in. But yeah, that's the slight worry. But I mean, from our side, I think form-wise, looking into it, it's been that there've been no clean sheets in the last 10. So that's you know, been the basis of our success.
I'm just enjoying you looking for your next bit of paper. Then you couldn't find it, could you?
No.
And you're trying to carry on talking.
It's very good. This is why we do pods. But every time something like that happens, you just highlight to the fact that something happens. But yeah, absolutely.
So this is just to talk. So what's this bit of paper you've got? So before you were reading from the. Just to ruin it, from a thing we get sent from Opta. But now you've moved on to something different with titles and different bold, some underlining on there. Where's this come from? Your own research?
Okay. Yeah, a bit of that. A bit of Squawker I've been using as well. They've been good. But yeah, so just talking about clean sheets. Away goals then. So we're highlighting on some potential weaknesses for Newcastle. So they've conceded more away goals than any other side this Premier League season, 28. So... That's the positive. But they're coming up against the team who've scored the fewest at home this season. So something's got to give.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
Season starts here.
The season starts here. And let's hope season starts for this man, Benteke, on the score sheet. Last game. Likely to start, I imagine, tomorrow. And we're looking at, if he can score in consecutive games, it'll be the first time since April 2017.
When he scored against Chelsea and Liverpool?
No, Leicester at home and Liverpool away. Was, of course, their last defeat at Anfield in the Prem. Men to watch then. So this is the one to really just keep your eye on. And it's that man, Jonjo Shelvey. So he's been out quite a bit, suspended and injured. He's only played 15 of Newcastle's 26 games. But despite having played only 15 of them, he's scored the most goals for them and he's created the most chances, 27 chances. So worry that he is back. And this game, this is how I would dub this one, Battle of the Dribblers. We've got Wilfried Zaha in second most dribbles this season, 123, taking on Alan Saint-Maximin, who's fourth with the most dribbles. So, yeah, big one for us. And the interceptor, James MacArthur. he is sixth in the most interceptions table.
So sixth.
He's picked up.
He's not 45. The interceptor, is he?
The interceptor.
No, Palace. Very good. That's a good stat. I'm going to be positive.
Good man. But look, we're talking about a lack of goals. If there are goals, you've got one of the most humorous moments, I think, for celebrations really in Newcastle so far. Obviously, we won't go into too much detail what happened after Alan Saint-Maximin scored, but there was obviously some indecency there. But Matt Ritchie, when he kicked the corner flag after Isaac Hayden's goal versus Chelsea, hit a fan in the private area. So if there is a goal, they tend to go pretty nuts over it.
Pretty nuts.
And predictions-wise, just from us and looking at positives.
I got it wrong, Loss. I think I went 3-1 Palace. 3-2 Palace against Everton. It was 3-1 Everton.
Yeah, funny that. We went for a Palace win, but we'll predict again. Squawker then, after all this. This is him, you know, pulling at the positives here. Squawker, analysing all of those, does say, predict that Palace will get a 1-0 win. So they're the positives.
Okay, what do you think? What's your... Oh, me first or
you?
Yeah,
you first,
oh,
mate.
Who goes first?
4-0 Palace, or are we going with a nice 3-0? After everything I've told you there about lack of goals, no goals from open play, what's he going with?
2-0 Palace.
2-0 Palace. I'm surprised you weren't going to go for the one that breaks more than two goals.
I'm going to change it, okay?
3-0 or
4-0 Palace.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
4-0 Palace.
Or are you going for 1-0? You have to. The stats say it.
Well, Squawker has said that. Stats do say. I've been saying for a while, it's been ages since we got a penalty.
We thought we'd get loads of VAR, didn't we?
We did. And we got a few, didn't we? You know, a few overturned and, you know, Wolves at Arsenal and things like that. But... I think it's time. I think it will. I'm going to go with the stats. Set piece goal. I'm going to go with a penalty. I'm going to go someone rare to win it though. Benteke to win the pen. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
And Luke to score it. And I think the crucial thing, get the clean sheets back.
Yeah.
And a nice solid 1-0.
Crystal Palace laundry.
Ease the pressure. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Statman. Let's just throw straight to the next bit of the pod, shall we?
Yep.
So next up, we have an interview that I did with the chairman, Steve Parish, earlier this week. Been a while since I spoke to him, so I headed up to Soho on Monday, sat down in his office and just asked him whatever I wanted. Here it is. It's been a while since we last spoke. I think it was probably... just around the time the academy plans were announced. So let's start there. How's all that coming along?
Really good. We are awarding the contracts at the moment for the interior fit out and for the external cladding onto the existing buildings. It's been quite difficult clearing the site because we've had to negotiate with various different people to leave the site, wait for leases to end, etc. And that's all now pretty much completed. So we're all systems go. We're tight to make Cat 1, but we're confident that we can do it by next season.
Let's say you're pretty confident that it's going to go ahead as you originally planned.
Well, the planners have to make that decision. You know, we think it's a marvellous project for the area, a marvellous project for the club. We can't really see a downside. We've got massive support so far from the residents. Of course, there are some people that are asking some questions, but I think it's fair to say that even those people are supportive of the scheme. So it's incredibly exciting for the club. It's the best catchment area, certainly in the country, for talent. You know, our under-16s, under-15s are the Premier League Cup champions. You know, there's been a lot of noise around our youngsters. You know, we're really, really hopeful that the work that we put in place 8 years ago is now coming to fruition with a group that are coming through. And of course, we've got Tyrick and Brandon, who are training regularly with the first team. Brandon has made his first team appearance. Aaron, who recently got sold to Manchester United. You know, we think there's a much bigger production line, and that's what we're working on. And it's important as well to keep the pathways open for those players to get into the first team, and that's important too.
Yeah, you mentioned the first team. It's been a tough couple of months, would you say, first team-wise, with all the injuries that we had and then the transfer window?
Yeah, the injuries were difficult, you know, but every club gets injuries. You know, that's part and parcel of having a squad. So it was, as much as it was difficult, it was great to see some of the players come in, Connor getting his first goal, Gyro playing really well, fantastic for him, you know, because he's found it difficult to get his chance. I thought he stepped up and he was incredible. Martin, of course, deputised at right back and always does a fantastic job. And we managed to trickle points on the board. Actually, as people have come back, you know, we've probably found it a little bit more difficult. You know, narrow losses, difficult ones, but some positive signs. Christian back on the score sheet, a lot of players coming back. We go into the next period with optimism.
I know the fans are always desperate for signings every transfer window, but do you think it made it feel like there was more of a desperation for signings than there was?
I don't. Every transfer window, people want people signed. They're typically the same people that will crucify you if you sign the wrong player 4 weeks later or they don't work out. Look, we know there's work to do on the squad, but we need to do it in a considered manner. Roy felt we needed more firepower, so we took Kent. We've got an option to buy him. Obviously, if we'd have bought him for 20 million or whatever, maybe that would have been a better PR story. But, you know, he's an excellent player. He's in the building. I think he'll be a big help going into the next 6 months. And I see no reason why we couldn't make that a permanent deal in the summer, you know, if things go well for both parties. So, you know, we managed to get that done. We were hopeful to do a little bit more in January. We had a bid accepted on an Italian striker, Kouame. Unfortunately, he had a cruciate injury the week after. It was outside the window that we'd agreed the deal, so they were still playing him. Then, of course, the Nathan Ferguson situation is well documented, you know, not by us. We don't tend to talk about these things, but since people have put it in the public domain, you know, that was very unfortunate. The deal was all agreed. And then when he arrived during our medical, you know, he had an issue that needed a long time resolving. Now, it's impossible from our medical team that you'll see that player this season. Now, the player's got 6 months to run on his contracts in January. We're still keen on that deal, and we're confident that we can make that happen. You know, we think an awful lot of the player. We don't want to go to our second choices, and we don't want to sign players just for the sake of it because it gets a good PR story. Although we understand that giving people a lift, you know, is important.
How does it work with when you decide to try and do transfers? So with Nathan Ferguson, that medical happened right at the end of January. So some fans would think if it had been done at the start of January, then you would have had more time to go to another option. Or do you get a better deal if you wait until later on? Or was it because he got injured at the end of December?
I mean, every situation is different. You know, Kent, obviously, we did earlier in the window. Kouame, we had a bit accepted before. Of course, if you're prepared to pay any amount of money, then you can buy anybody whenever you want, probably. You know, that's not the situation we're in. We have to make our money work. I don't think that's the situation that many clubs are in. I think for a player that was 6 months left, the fee we agreed was a big fee. We didn't scrimp on the fee, but obviously there's a limit. I think the big error is that we just then go to a second choice. We identified Nathan as the player we wanted. It took a long, long time, you know, to negotiate that deal through January. We'd gone in for him in the summer as well. We felt he was the right answer for us. Yes, we've got other options, but we don't just want to go to the second or third option while the first option is still alive. We want to get the right players in for the future of the football club. We've got every faith in the squad that we've got. You know, the squad that we've got during January, before January, doing a great job. This is the second highest points total we've had in the league, I think, at this stage of the season. So we need to make sure that we bring quality in, not just numbers.
And are you looking at bringing younger players as well? Because the average age is fairly high.
Yes, I mean, the average age of the squad is high. These stats are there to damn you, aren't they? You know, if that in itself is a solution, you know, if it was as simple as having a squad with an average age of 25 to do well in the Premier League, then everybody would have an average age of 25. You know, we are a little bit old on that stat, and that's something that we need to be mindful of course, because players do typically fall off in terms of performance. But it's not the be-all and end-all of everything. You know, although if you look at the January transfer window, Kwame and Nathan Ferguson, had we signed those two, they would have made a significant difference to our average age. So, of course, it's something we need to look at. We're very keen on some of the younger players we've got in the academy. We want to be careful that we don't block their pathways, because that's happened too often at this club as well. So we look at everything in the round. We try and make the right decisions for the football club long term. It's very easy to make mistakes in the transfer market.
Fans look at the money situation quite a lot. Obviously, we sold Aaron Wan-Bissaka for a lot of money last summer. So what you see people writing online a lot is, well, where has that money gone? But I guess, does it go towards previous years where you've made losses, or you're building an academy as well?
We borrowed some money previous to that for some of the other transfer business that we've done. I mean, if you remember, if you look at the, you know, we very rarely sell players. You know, this is the other thing. You know, we've kept our talent here to try and improve the quality of the squad. When we sold Aaron, we used it to pay down some debt. You know, everybody saw that we forward financed the last payment. We brought that forward. That's a very cheap form of financing. So we were paying 4.5% on some debt. We forward financed that at 2.5%. So we used the forward finance money to pay down the other money. But there was money available in January for the right solutions and the right players. And we need to get them right. You know, everybody needs to be on the same page on those transfers. As you said, they need to be the right age, have the right value appreciation in them, give us the right longevity, the right protection. I think all of the players that we've got at the football club are excellent players. And I think we wouldn't be here without the players that we've got. But we look back on the business that we've done in the past, and we look at maybe the age that we bought certain players. I think we had to do that to stay in the league at the time. And clearly, you know, it doesn't represent the long-term value sometimes that it would if you bought younger players and they were more successful. But when you buy younger players, there's more of a risk in getting them right.
You're on social media. How much does it hurt reading the comments, like the day after the transfer window? You must have got lots of comments online, tweeting you about stuff. Does it hurt you when you read things like bored out?
There's some stuff we all get on social media that is unbelievable. I mean, I don't know what people are thinking when they send it. But I understand people's feelings. You know, I understand that it's very, very important to people, this football club, and that feelings and emotions run deep, and that they've got their mates that support other clubs. But the long-term future of the club is what's at stake. You know, I am in possession of all of the information. Those people are not in possession of all the information. You know, I have to deal with things that I have to deal with, and I have to have a long-term view on what's right for the football club. You know, so, you know, we're in a great position financially. You know, we don't have any debt again now. We did have some debt before. We took on some third-party debt. You know, the shareholders have put money in, doesn't constitute normal debt. We get to the summer. We're in good shape. You know, we've got things to do. We know that. I think it's time for everybody to stay positive. We need to stay focused, and we need to be realistic. We would have got 3 if things had gone according to plan. Well, 4 if you include Scott Banks, and he's a fantastic addition. An amazing young man with a great attitude and a great future ahead of him, I think. So, you know, we continue to do the right things. We continue to invest in the academy. We've got great hopes, you know, for those players. So it's all very well buying younger players from everywhere else, but what happens to our kids when they get blocked up and they can't get through and they can't get past? We just bought a 20-year-old in their position. So we've got to be mindful of that as well.
And are you looking for more investment in the club?
Yeah, it's no secret that we need to do a lot of things with this football club. So we're looking at how we fund that. We have a lot of people talking to us. Unfortunately, when people say sell up, you know, that isn't quite as easy. I can assure people as a fan of the club that if there was somebody who wanted to use Crystal Palace as their plaything and get us to the Champions League, you know, I would be the first one that would be encouraging that or getting out of the way. I said it from the beginning, you know, this is not a project that was about me or Stephen or any of the guys that I brought in at the beginning. This is about the football club that I love. You know, I want the football club to be better. And if somebody can come along and they can help us with that, then absolutely. You know, I think you'll find that there are many football clubs in the Premier League that are looking for investment. We're also looking at various debt instruments that we can use that wouldn't risk the club to help us with various things. So that's a constant job that you've got going on, and come the summer, hopefully, we'll get to a point where that will come to fruition.
Roy's contract is up in the summer. Is there any kind of update on where you are with that?
Yes, we've presented a contract to Roy. We're talking to him about that. I think everybody's pretty focused on, you know, the games, but yes, you know, that's in discussions, and Roy has said himself in the press the other day he's very relaxed about it, so we're very relaxed about it. I think we'll get that done in the fullness of time.
And a man at the club, Dougie Friedman, a lot of focus is put on him from the fans, because probably more than any director of football usually is, because he's a former player and a former manager. Because the fans don't see what he does, do you think he comes in for maybe unfair criticism online? Because if you don't sign a player, it looks like, well, he's not doing anything, but he's doing loads, he doesn't stop working.
I can tell you now, Dougie, most important quality is he doesn't care what somebody's saying on social media about what he does or doesn't do. I can tell you there's no one at the football club that's working harder for the football club than Dougie Friedman. And sometimes the best job you do in that position is to keep the ones that aren't going to work out. You know, it's the nose. It's easy to just give in and cave, and we sign some players just to keep everybody happy, but that's not going to give us the longevity that we want. Now, everything's a risk, but Dougie does the work. You know, we do the work. We have to stay focused on the work, what we need to do with the constraints that we've got, with the money that we've got, with the players that we've got coming through, with the players that we've got in the squad, with the manager we've got. We have to work together to try and make sure that we get the right answers. You know, there's no point bringing players that don't play. There's no point bringing players that don't get on the bench, you know, because it just becomes a problem for us.
The building of the main stand, where are you at with that? Is it just hanging over a piece of land? Because you've got a lot
of... So we negotiated with Sainsbury's. So we've put an offer into Sainsbury's for that land, and we're very close to agreeing the final section 106, which are all the things around the ground with the council. It's something that we've got to do. It's a big piece of work. It requires a big piece of funding. I'm not saying it's easy, but, you know, I remain committed to it. It's the future of this football club. Hopefully we can get a deal with Sainsbury's. I think that it's in everybody's interests that we do. I mean, when I arrived in this football club, Sainsbury's were promising all sorts to build us a stadium and, you know, build us a new stand and all this kind of thing. We realise that environment's changed, but we would also ask them, you know, to be sensible about what is basically a car park and can only be used as a car park. I think we're making a reasonable offer, and I think it will improve the site for everybody. It's not a question of us just throwing money around willy-nilly. We need to be circumspect, but we're absolutely committed to making that project happen. You know, we've got squad, we've got academy, and we've got stadium, and we're working on all three of them.
So we're coming up this summer to 10 years since you bought the club, since you took over at the club. How proud are you of what you've achieved?
Staying in this league is not easy. We are outside of the top six. I think there's only Everton, us, Southampton and West Ham that are still in the league since we got promoted. That's it. Everybody else has been relegated. Two clubs have come back, Burnley and Newcastle. So staying in the league is difficult. That's, you know, it creates a difficult backdrop against everything. And some fans could argue we should be more optimistic, and I would suggest that that's probably true, and we have been in periods. But I think sometimes that optimism and that keenness to do well quickly has led us into more long-term structural issues that we need to deal with. So we need a long-term plan for the football club. You know, there've been many, many short-term plans for this football club over the years, and it's ended in not a good situation. So we're redoubling our efforts. We're doubling down. We're making sure that we do the right things for the football club. We're getting more circumspect. We're determined to not make the mistakes that we've made in the past. There's a group of people, me as one of them, that work 24/7 for this football club. Football is an always-on kind of profession, and we continue to do that. We continue to try and make the best decisions, because just working hard in itself isn't enough. And we're going to carry on trying to move this club forward. We need to secure our position in the league, try and finish as high as possible, because it's worth a lot of money, the positions that we finish in the league. Make sure that we deal with the things that we need to deal with in the squad in the summer. Hopefully the academy will then be well on the way, and then revisit that, you know, the stadium. Hopefully we get a deal with Sainsbury's in the next few weeks or months. We can announce that and then move forward from there.
Steve Parish there. And now a man I think we mentioned earlier with Statman. Christian Benteke scored against Everton in the last game, so he sat down this week with Premier League Productions.
So first of all, how was your mid-season break? Looks like you were somewhere a lot warmer than England.
Yeah, I will say it was a great break because I had the time to rest and to focus about my football and how strong I can come back.
But still working hard out there in California.
Yeah, still working in the morning and then enjoying the sun.
So Newcastle up next, just 1 point above you. Is this a good opportunity to get back to winning ways and move up the table?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a big game for the both teams, but hopefully we're going to end up this game with 3 points.
What will be the key to getting those 3 points?
Like we've been doing, I think, and just change some things, like just being strong as a team from the first minute until the last minute and try to score goals, just to win games.
And after 7 league games without a win, what's the mood like? Still positive out there in training sessions?
Still positive because we are a great squad with a lot of experience, so we are not panicking and we know what we got to do to be up in the table.
So confidence still high amongst the players?
Yeah.
So 3 of your next 4 league games now are against teams below you in the table. Is this a good chance to get that winning feeling back, build some good momentum?
Yeah, as the manager said, I think he said that the next 4 games, I think, is going to be important for us. So we know that now, I think it's 12 games left, so we know how important it's going to be at the end of the season.
And not the result you wanted against Everton in the last game before the break, but how important was that goal for you?
As a striker, it's always a nice feeling to score because as soon as you score, like it looks like you got more chances. And you do things that you don't do when you don't score and you feel more free. And it's a good feeling because you help even more the team.
So a sense of relief to get your name on the score sheet?
Yeah, it's a relief. I won't lie. And hopefully I will get more till the end of the season.
And there have been a lack of goals for Crystal Palace this season. What's lacking in the final third? What needs to improve?
I think our composure. Because I think sometimes we rush ourselves because we work so hard defensively to get the ball back. And then when we arrive around the last third, we're just rushing. And I think we have to be more relaxed and more composed.
And Cenk Tosun could return this weekend. Will that be a big boost for the team?
Exactly, because I think he had a great start. He scored a good goal against City. He's a good guy, good pro, and hopefully gonna help us.
What does he add to this team?
I think it's a finisher, and he's got both feet, so he's a decent striker.
And you'll play against one of your former sides, Liverpool, next month. It's the game where they could win the Premier League. What can you say about what they're achieving this season?
It's just unbelievable what they are doing. But when you see the 11 start, even the player on the bench, it's just an amazing team.
Right, and now some more questions, and these need to be answered in full answers. So what's the best Premier League goal you've scored and why?
My best Premier League goal is probably against United with Liverpool because it was one of the biggest derby in the world, so it was a nice feeling to score against United.
And the best Premier League match you've played in and why?
My best Premier League match was against, I will say, Sunderland when I was at Villa, my first hat trick.
And what's been your best celebration?
My best celebration is now.
Goal celebration?
Yeah, when I do the silencer celebration.
Like what's the story behind that one?
It's just because I'm a big fan of LeBron James. He inspired me a lot, so I'm trying to do the same as him.
And what's the best Premier League ground you've played at and why?
I would probably say Aston Villa is the first Premier League ground that I played when I came in England.
The best Premier League player you've played with?
Eden Hazard.
And the best Premier League player you played against?
I would say De Bruyne.
And what's been your best achievement in your career to date?
To be able to play in my dream league. So be able to play English football for years, and I'm really humble and blessed to be able to play and enjoy.
Just a few more questions. I've got time for a couple more, don't I? What will be a successful season for Crystal Palace this season?
I think if we finish on the left table, it would be a good achievement for us.
And what's the general message at the moment from your manager?
Just to stick together, to work hard, and just to keep going, because we know that we got the abilities and the players to make the difference and to win games.
And after back-to-back defeats at home, what are you going to ask from your fans at Selhurst Park this weekend?
Just like they've been doing since the beginning of this season, just to help us, to support us, and then we will deliver.
And what are you expecting from Newcastle?
A good team with a lot of experience. They lost as well against Arsenal 4-1, I think. So they know that we're going to put pressure on them. And I think they will try to break that up, to break this down. And it's going to be an interesting game.
What a lovely guy Christian Benteke is. And now for something non-footballery, it's the London Mayor, Sadiq Khan. He was down at Selhurst Park earlier this week to find out what the foundation have been up to in South London. He was a lovely guy, and I spoke to him right by the dugouts. Sadiq, how pleasing was it for you to hear about the great work Palace for Life Foundation are doing in the community?
It's inspiring. I've met some of the young people whose lives have been transformed for the better as a result of the Palace for Life Foundation's work. I've also met some of the coaches who are themselves quite inspiring. And it's a really good example of the club giving something back. And as a South Londoner, I'm really proud.
Yeah, nice to be in a dressing room with Mark Bright as well.
He's tall, isn't he? It was good. I mean, and look, Bright's seen it all. The great thing about Mark is he's given something back. I mean, he's an ex-footballer, still involved with Palace, clearly loves the club. But also, look, young people look up to him. He's a role model. But also, when you hear Mark's story, it wasn't easy for him growing up. And the great thing about Mark is he's a living, breathing example of the importance of hard work. Hard work. And what I'm trying to say to young people is, look, there aren't any shortcuts. And the great thing about Palace for Life Foundation, the work they do with young people is they don't beat about the bush. They themselves, many of those involved, the coaches, the mentors, the teachers, have got real life experiences. They're from the community. They speak normal. Young people respect them. And it's fantastic. You know, Bright took me to the changing room, and it's as a football fan, it's great to be there. First time I've been inside the changing room, and it's an experience that these young people benefit from.
A player who's in that dressing room every other week, Wilfried Zaha, he credits Premier League kicks with keeping him occupied, keeping him from getting into trouble. Footballs can be really useful, can't it? Well, all sport in general, in helping to lead people down the right path.
Listen, sport and football in particular has got this huge power to change people's lives for the better. Not everyone's going to be an elite sportsman like Wilfried Zaha or Mike Bright. I mean, Zaha's idolised around the world, not just amongst Palace fans. I'm not saying every young person can be a Wilfried Zaha or a Mark Bright, but you don't need to be, because sport is fulfilling even without being an elite Premier League footballer. You can be a fan, you can get active, play Sunday League football or five-a-side football. We've got a big issue with young people who are obese or overweight, big issue with mental health issues, big issue with violent crime, big issue with young people having a postcode lottery, not mixing with other kids because of where they're from. Football can deal with all that. I mean, some of the young people who play Premier League kicks or get involved in Palace for Life Foundation aren't from the same school, but they become mates, boys and girls. One of the great things about the foundation is they're reaching out to communities who previously haven't been involved in sports, the Asian community in particular, doing work with those who've got downs. And so I'm really proud of this club, and it's really important that those of us who grumble and complain about football not doing enough also to give credit where it's due, and I give huge credit to Palace.
And finally, you mentioned you're a proud South Londoner. The club's mantra is South London and proud. How proud are you to see South London on the map at the moment culturally? Like you see at the Brit Awards last night, Dave and Stormzy both proud South Londoners who grew up not far from here.
Yeah, I think the future for South London is really bright. I mean, the London Borough of Culture 2023 will be Croydon. Croydon, of course, being responsible for huge successes from, you know, Stormzy to Dave, Adele. Dave Bowie was there. Kate Moss, of course. Crystal Palace as well, very important. We don't forget Palace. Mike Brown will kill me. And it's really important that we're upbeat and confident. Look, in the past, South London has been neglected. If you look at where the tube stations are, most of them are in North London. Two-thirds of our city lives in North London, and we have missed out a lot of the time. But I think when you look at some of the success stories from, you know, Dave to Stormzy to, you know, Adele, South Londoner, to, you know, the club, you know, I'm optimistic about the future. But it's really important that we realise that actually we should be hopeful. There is a reason to be upbeat and optimistic and stuff. And as a South Londoner, through and through, I'm really proud.
Thank you very much. From the London mayor to a man who has the keys to Croydon, something like that. He won the freedom of the borough of Croydon. It's Roy Hodgson taking questions from the press.
Can we just get an update on any injuries from team news, please?
Well, Tompkins is added, I suppose, to the list we had, and Cenk Tosun is now back fit again, which is good. So really, we won't have Tompkins, we won't have Schlupp, and we won't have Sacco. So they're the three definite absentees. But we've been hit this week, unfortunately, with a little bit of sickness. So unfortunately, there's one or two players who are not perhaps at their absolute best, and we'll have to keep an eye out tomorrow and make even a late decision as to which of those could possibly start the game and which of those might have to start from the bench.
Is it a virus? Or
I don't know if it was a virus. I think it was a pure sickness with fever, of course, and the what comes with the fever. But I've got no reason to believe it's a particular virus. It's two players and two separate incidents.
There's been a lot of talk in the media about yourself and whether you will extend your stay here at Crystal Palace after the end of the season. Any change, any updates on that situation?
Well, the club have presented me with a contract, which I got just before we went away last week. And, of course, this week also the chairman's been away. But I've had a chance to sort of look through it, you know, cursorily a little, to some extent, but it all looks fine to me. So I'm pretty certain that sometime soon we'll sit down and get it signed.
Does you signing depend on funds being made available at all to sign new players after not bringing in any?
No, if I'm going to stay, it will be because I believe that the funds will be made available, because we've had the intention for quite a while now to improve the squad, to improve the team, and we realise, I mean, certainly Steve and I, and I'm sure the American owners realise, that you can't make those improvements to your actual team, which isn't a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, without spending some money. So I wouldn't make those type of demands, because, to be honest, you can't make guarantees in the transfer market anyway. You can only have intentions, and I would have to, if I sign for another year, I would sign believing that the intentions I'm being told about are true intentions, and that something will happen and that we will get stronger going into the next season.
As you say, the intent is there to bring in new players. It hasn't quite materialised. How satisfied have you been with the transfer window business, I guess, during your time at the club?
Well, I think my satisfaction or dissatisfaction has been shared by everybody. It's not a question that the people perhaps above me, who are the ones responsible, if you like, for releasing the purse strings and spending money, are satisfied, and I, as a result, am dissatisfied. We've all wanted to do more than we've actually done. We've all wanted to, you know, show the fans that we're moving forward, show the fans that we're bringing new players, some fresh blood into the club. So, once again, we're back to the intentions, and the intentions are good and always have been good. The problem, of course, in the transfer window is trying to make certain that the money you spend is on the right players, and that the players you're going to bring in are going to be the ones that are going to make you better, first of all. And secondly, trying to make sure that the amount of money that you've got available, if any is available, is being spread out in the right way, and perhaps not all being lumped into one basket. Then you find yourself still very short in other areas. So it's not a cut and dried situation when it comes to the transfer window, but I'm pretty sure now with the experience we've had over these last five windows that we're in a better shape to get it right going into the next ones.
You just described the squad as not bad.
I think it's good. I mean, that's a typical English comment, isn't it? You know, by not bad, we mean good, because we never say that we're good or that anyone's good. We say we're decent, we're not bad, we're reasonable.
Is it good enough to achieve the kind of aims and hopes that you have for this season?
Well, the aims and the hopes are always first and foremost to stay in the league, and I certainly think we're good enough for that. We started so well. We've had the brakes put on, partly by injury, partly by a little bit of misfortune in the recent games. But we still believe that we can certainly achieve that aim. But at one stage, when we were flying high, albeit we always knew that our position was probably a little bit false, we were hoping to finish in the top half of the table. And at the moment, I don't see any reason why we should abandon that hope and that wish. But of course, the real, true and only wish we have is to make certain that we finish the season and make certain that Crystal Palace fans are watching Crystal Palace play against Premier League opposition next season.
I noticed that obviously match to match you don't tend to make many changes. Is that because of the lack of options, or is that your actual preference tactically?
Well, certainly it's been lack of options in recent weeks. It's very much so, because the injury list has been so big. I think, like all managers, we'd be more than happy to use the bench that we have available if we think the players on that bench are going to be able to go in and help us out. But quite recently, of course, we've had a bench which has either been very heavily geared towards defenders, because they're the ones we've had relatively fit, or it's been basically filled with under 23 players with very little experience. And, you know, the games haven't been games where I think it's been the right moment to throw them into the fray. Gradually, that's improving. You know, if all goes well tomorrow, we will have 16 senior outfielders and two goalkeepers. So that's our 18. And that'll be the first time in a long while that we'll have an 18, which doesn't include players who are either basically unfit, just coming back from injury, or under 23 players with no experience.
Just one player in particular I want to ask you about, Max Meyer. There was suggestions in the German media that he was looking for a move away. He's since said, I'm happy at Crystal Palace, but he hasn't really been a prominent part of your plans this season. Is there a reason for that?
No, not particularly. I mean, he's a competitor for a place like everybody else, and he's actually made quite a few appearances this year, Max Meyer, and he's always one that if he doesn't start the game, he's one that's in our thoughts with regard to bringing on to change the way the game is being played, because today football is no longer an 11-man game. I think all of us have accepted long ago that A, the intensity of the game, and B, the fact that you've got a bigger bench, which gives you hopefully more options, you're looking most times to play 14 players per game and not 11 players per game. And in that respect, of course, Max, I think, will feel satisfied that he's pretty much been a part of that side of things for the best part of his time here. And we're happy with him, there's no question of that. But like all players, if they aren't the first name on the team sheet and that lasts for a period of time, you run the risk, of course, that they're going to suggest, I'm not the first name on your team sheet, I want to be the first name on somebody else's team sheet. But the good thing is that he's under contract and we're happy with him, and I'm delighted to hear him speaking so sensibly and so well to the German media. But I can't expect him to just rule everything out. But I'm happy to hear him say he's happy with us here, and we're happy to have him.
Just finally from me, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Arsene Wenger's kind of proposals for changing the offside rule. It seems to put it in favour of the attacker. Ooh. Have you read the card? Are you aware of the rule change? And what's your opinion?
The thing about rule changes, and I'm fully aware of this because working for the English FA, who are one of the major people in IFAB, I know that rules will only ever get changed when IFAB make those decisions. So people like myself and Arsene and Graham Souness, I see he's been quoted, we can have ideas and thoughts, but unfortunately, unless IFAB listen to them and take them on board, they'll just be thoughts perhaps hopes, perhaps dreams in some people's cases, but it doesn't make a lot of difference at the end of the day. I think that the current situation with VAR is not particularly healthy because it's been so vilified by the fans. You know, it's not, it can't be good that you've brought in a system where the fans chant in unison that they don't like it. So that can't be good. So I'm pretty certain that the powers that be must be thinking about those things. And of course, when it comes to these goals which have been disallowed by really millimetre decisions, it's not unusual that someone like Arsene or Graham, you know, experienced people within the game, will come up with an alternative suggestion. So I'll leave them to put that to IFAB, and we'll see what IFAB come up with. They might even one day go back to that wonderful rule we used to have where to be accused of handball, you had to try to handle it. It didn't just have to be smashed into you from 2 or 3 yards away, but I don't hold out that much hope that will happen, but I can still dream of that. That would be my major concern. If I could change anything, I would go back to a situation where defenders were allowed to throw their body in the way of balls to block goals and not run the risk that they're going to be giving away a penalty, or to see them running around like ducks with their hands behind their backs because they're so frightened the ball might ricochet into them.
You never know.
You never know, they might be listening. My pleasure.
Joe, Premier League.
The game against Newcastle.
Important.
Based on form, could be a low-scoring encounter. Michael Owen suggested it could be a classic. Does that make for a more nerdy...
What did he mean by a classic?
I think he meant a low... I mean, that's something I also would like to get your opinion on, but I believe he meant a low-scoring classic game where one
I didn't realise they were classics, low-scoring.
Where one goal could be crucial. Does that make it perhaps a more nervy encounter? How do you feel about that?
Well, we don't get many 6-5s these days, do we? You know, most games seem to be 1-0 or 2-0 events. And I suppose I don't see any particular event on the horizon which suggests to me that this isn't going to be that type of game, because both teams know how to defend. And both teams will be working hard to get bodies behind the ball. And both teams are fully aware that once you concede a goal, it's pretty hard to score at the other end. So I think if Michael wants to see a lot of goals every game, then maybe, unfortunately, the Dutch league might suit him better than the English league.
Other than not scoring too many goals, do you see other similarities between the two teams?
No, we're very different teams in every respect. But, of course, we do have that unfortunate record, both of us, that we haven't scored that many goals this season, and nowhere near as many goals as we would like. But I think we do have one thing in common, that we're both happy to be sitting 6 points away from the relegation zone rather than the three teams down there who perhaps have scored a lot more goals than us.
How much of an opportunity could this game be as a turning point? Because I know you want to obviously have a strong end to the season. Perhaps something needs a slight shift. Could this be that moment?
Well, we've already had our turning point. It turned from being, you know, very, very successful to, in the last three games, which we've lost, you know, being unsuccessful. So, of course, we'd like to put an end to that little sequence and get back on track again where we were winning and drawing more games than we've done in the last few weeks. So we would like that second turning point to get back perhaps to where we were. And if that's going to happen, we're first of all going to have to continue to get players back fit and to have that level of competition for places in the team that, quite frankly, over the Christmas period and going into the early part of the new year, we've not had.
How important is it to you to score more at home, and what other changes would you like to see at the end of the season?
The importance of scoring is to make certain that you score more than the opposition. That's it. I mean, I'm very pragmatic in that respect. Of course, I'd much rather win a game 5-0 than 1-0, but I'd much rather win 1-0 than draw 0-0 or lose 1-0. And that's how it is. It's not much more complicated than that. So, you know, I'll leave the statistics, you know, where what number you are in the league in terms of goals scored, what place you are in the league in terms of number of corners, number of fouls that you concede or get, or number of shots you have on target, which of course is the most ludicrous statistic of all, because if that statistic was important, you can get your first shot on target from the kickoff. So, I mean, I'll leave all that to other people, and the statistic that interests me is, A, how many points do we get per game that we play, and where we are in the league. They're the only statistics that interest me.
Palace haven't scored very often in the first half of the game.
Again, you give me another statistic, I'll give you the same answer. It doesn't really interest me that much because if we, whether we score in the first half or whether we score two goals after being 1-0 down in the 95th, 96th minute, that's the statistics that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, we come off the field, how many points have we got from this game? Not have we got it by scoring three goals. That's no good to me, scoring three goals. If the opposition score four, it's not even great if the opposition score three. So as far as I'm concerned, I see the global picture. We work hard every game, knowing that we need to win a game to score goals and keep them out. We've got to do both of those two things. So every game, I'm rather hoping that we get it right at both ends, that we attack very well and score lots of goals while defending very well at the other end. But of course, you don't play games in your imagination, your mind. You play the game that's in front of you on the field of play. But I mean, I can certainly assure all of our fans we work extremely hard on both aspects of our game. And I believe that we have the firepower in our team to score more goals than we've done so far. So I'm expecting that to change in the coming matches.